a blessing and an honor to be in the presence of the Lord in a corporate setting like this
Amen.
evening. It is nothing good that we have done to deserve this opportunity. It is God's grace and mercy. Today is the 22nd day of the first month of the year 2026, and is a day and a date that we will never see again. We'll never see this date again. We'll never see this day again. So whatever it is that it is ordained for us to do, let us do it. Let us do it. And the best thing we could ever do with our time is to give it back to God. Give back our time to God, because with us, we'll make a complete mess of it. But when our time is in the hands of God, we know for sure that it will account and amount to something. And so we are extremely blessed. We're extremely good. It was David who said, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we know that when we're in the house of the Lord, there is a reward for each and every one of us. Amen. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so here we are one more time. And we know that something good is about to happen. So put something in. Open your hearts. Whatever burdens, whatever cares, whatever discomfort or disappointment you may have experienced throughout the week, know for sure that when this meeting shall be out and done, we would have said it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to adopt an attitude of worship. This evening we'll present the word, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll continue that teaching this evening. But before that, we're going to quiet our hearts as we welcome Sister Chantal to do our devotions for us. So as she comes, just adopt an attitude of worship, an attitude where you just let go and let God. Just let go of everything that you think you may know, everything that is burdening you down, everything that is causing you to be downcast. Just lay it down at His foot. And we know that something good is in store for us this evening. Sister Chantal, are you ready for us? Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good night, everyone.
Good night, sis.
Well, yeah. Tonight, I'm grateful to God for another opportunity to be alive and to be well. God has really been good to me, and I must give Him thanks. I'm just going to start by singing three choruses that I have here, and you just worship with me. Amen.
Amen.
Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my trust in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, even the touch of your hands stronger each day. Show me a way, 'cause I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For I will bless the Lord, Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
Great things you have done,
Great,
great
great, great things, bless his holy name. One more time, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. 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 Bless his holy name. You are exalted. God is exalted tonight. He is exalted. Somebody say, he is exalted on high. Hallelujah. They say creation will praise him. All the earth will adore him. Somebody say, he is open our mics and say he's exalted. He is exalted. Hallelujah. He is. Thank you, Jesus. Exalted. Oh, he is exalted on high. Can we just open our mics tonight and just give God a high praise tonight?
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, mighty God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you on high.
Hallelujah. We lift you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Worship Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You mighty God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah.
Tonight I am
Oh, be lifted up. Be
I
lifted
mean,
up,
on
Jesus. Be
His
lifted
goodness,
up.
He's so good to us.
Hallelujah.
He's so amazing to us.
Hallelujah,
We ought to give Him every praise, every honor. The songwriter says,
Jesus.
all praises goes to Him. He deserves every single praise that we have. He deserves all the glory, all the honor is unto His name. Tonight, He is exalted on high. Amen. He's exalted on high. We're just going to pause at this moment just to pray together, and then we will do the scripture reading. Amen. So we can open our mics. We're just going to pray together and Just pray as you are led. There's nothing that you have to specifically pray about. Let us just ask the Lord to let his presence be with us tonight. We're not here to just play around and to look, but we're all here to get. We're all here to give. You know, it's not just getting, because sometimes you only come to get, but we have to put out our praises. Another songwriter says we should praise him in advance. Praise him in advance
Yes.
tonight, not just because, oh, you want something, but he's deserving of the praise.
Oh,
If you're online tonight and you went to work, you went to school, he brought you safely. Accidents could have happened, but he protected you. You had food
Yes.
to eat today. You didn't have to say, Lord, I don't have no lunch. And even if I never have lunch, you have life today. So
Yes.
there's nothing you can say, oh, I have nothing to give God thanks for. That would be a lie in itself.
Oh,
Tonight
God.
we have so much to be grateful for. And so let us just pause at this time and go before the throne of grace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory
Hallelujah.
to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Father,
to God.
we glorify your
Please
name.
accept humbly coming into your presence of intelligently, God,
Hallelujah.
blessing your sweet and honorable name. We submit you are God, only you are perfect, only you are wonderful. Your desire is to abide in the presence of your hearts. So we lift our hearts tonight, as we lift our voice, as we offer up the praise unto your name. We call your name. Father, tonight I pray that you will bring us from all our graves, and you will holiness is what you want from us, mighty God. I pray, Lord, that you will just wash each and every one of us right now, thoroughly from our sins that are known to us and those that are unknown, mighty God. Our body, our mind, our sanctify us, the mighty God, as we are one with you, mighty God. We have covered city, as in the rest of the that you will have ignorance as Lord, God, I pray that you leave your heart. God, when your word is falling on the ears of your heart, God, it will be nurtured. Oh, God, almighty, and your spirit. Thank you, my God. Thank you,
Lord. Of the plans of the enemy, every era of our lives, almighty God, as we surrender to you.
Hallelujah. It's all to you, my dear.
Hallelujah.
God,
Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you,
In the name
Jesus.
of Jesus, hallelujah.
Thank
Can we say
you,
in
God.
Jesus' name tonight?
Hallelujah.
In the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus, in
Jesus.
the
In
name
your
of
mighty God.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, I'm not 100% with the throat, but I give God thanks tonight. I don't know what type of flu or whatever is going around, but I'm still going to praise God. There's a song that says, and I will not be silent. I will always praise you, you know? And sometimes that's even what I was looking at today, just thinking about how chaotic life can really get. And even in the midst of chaos, God still shows up. Even when we think that we have absolutely nothing to say, Lord, thank you for today. Or to say, Lord, today was a good day, because we saw so much bad that we could not even see the good. But tonight I'm reminding you that even in the chaos, God is still there and present. Even in the chaotic situations that you're facing, that you're going through, He is in the midst to bless you. He is in the midst to deliver you. He's in the midst to strengthen you. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to be reading the scripture taken from Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer rather, for my name's sake." This is a portion of God's word, and we honor it by saying thanks be to God. Tonight, I just want to give a short encouragement to you, or leave a short encouragement with you. It's surrounding a theme: God, reveal the assignments you have for me. It sounds like a request. It sounds like you asking God to do something, and somebody may ask, why do I need the Lord to reveal the assignment he has for me? Because some of us were actually scared of the assignment. I pause on this because sometimes we're going through, and sometimes we're really just asking God, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the calling that you really have on my life? And even when the thing about it, sometimes we see other people walking and living and working in their calling, and we get jealous because we start to say, "Well, God, where's my calling?" But the truth is, are we ready for what the calling comes with? Amen. So tonight, I just wanted to just share a few points on that. I read that scripture from Acts chapter 9 because that was a scripture that spoke to when Paul met his assignment, or his assignment was revealed to him. I'm also going to look at Judges chapter 6. I'll just take different scriptures from that chapter as well. That chapter focuses on Nehemiah when he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, right? It's the start as well, and so on. But these two characters showed how God revealed his assignment to them. Some of us want to know the purpose that God has for us, right? Paul had his assignment. He was really called to preach the gospel of Jesus, right? He had to be going to different people, standing before different crowds, even after persecuting the very people he's standing and sharing with, you know? Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it wasn't just, oh, he's going to rebuild. It was a divine assignment, because the time that the walls were rebuilt was much faster than anybody expected. And so tonight, the key points that I took away from when God is revealing your assignment to you. The first point is, when your assignment is being revealed, you will face oppression. You will be jeered, and the enemy will try to come after you, and he's definitely trying to take you out. It sounds scary, but this is the actual reality, because sometimes we don't talk about it. Some of us, we want to be the biggest minister, the biggest preacher, the biggest speaker, the biggest doctor, whatever it is that we want to be. But with a calling comes a great responsibility that many of us, we're not even at the place to take it. And so you have to know that once you're walking in that assignment and God is using you to fulfill that assignment, you are going to get oppression. You are going to have enemies coming at you. When Nehemiah was building rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Sanballat and Tobias, and there was another Arab they were all against him. They were jeering him. Like, what do you mean you have rebuild wall? They thought this would take forever and the walls were finished in record time because it was a man that was
When money
building it.
dropped
Because
down.
when God is building things in your life, when God is fixing things up, when God is changing things and turning things around, I know in a man time, in a God time. So you look at it and you're like, whoa, this is accelerating very quickly. It is not up to you to do that. God knows exactly why he's doing what he's doing. So don't worry about the enemies that will jeer you. Don't worry about the oppressors that will come against you. Let me tell you about Paul as well. He faced them too when he was actually without sight for 3 days after being, after his assignment was revealed to him at Damascus. He literally had a dream. And God sent Ananias to him. But speaking about how he was oppressed, the persons that were there after he started, preaching the gospel, because now he's living to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They wanted to kill him, a basket. They wanted to put Paul down, And so when your assignment is being revealed to you, that is one of the things you're going to see. Enemies will come left, right, and center. You're going to even wonder, why are they talking on my character? Why they want to hurt me? Why they want to say this? And you feel like you're a good person, Remember, this is the next point. The assignment is not about you. The assignment has nothing to do with you. You are just a vessel that God has chosen to bring out this assignment. So God is not concerned if you're male or female. He's choosing a vessel to use. But guess what about this assignment? It's going to reveal something to you too. So it's going to create change in you, and it's going to create change in the ones around you. Because even when you think about Nehemiah, there's a specific chapter in the book of Judges where, along the different chapters there, where they were just so, the chapter was focused on all the children of Israel coming together to help to build. Everybody was united. Everybody was just coming together. Because sometimes, and not sometimes, the assignment within you creates a whole atmosphere for change. And so you'll realize that different people start behaving differently. The ones who are working with you'll see a difference. And that is why sometimes persons will say, those who are attached to you will win if you're winning. And so if you're attached to Christ, then clearly there should be favor that the favor is upon you. There should be a certain level of transferring of favor. And understand that it shows that God is within you. And that is literally the light that is shining from you. You are a light, a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. So if good things are happening within you, it should be transferred to people around you. And so when your assignment is being revealed to you, that is exactly what it looks like. You will know you're walking in the assignment because when it's revealed to other people, it's not just because, oh, yeah, give them the cloud of blessing. No. God is confirming that he's with you.
My God.
Amen.
Amen.
Another point is that a very sore point for some. Your assignment will require you to be obedient. Obedience helps you to follow the instructions of God.
Amen.
Nehemiah was actually praying, fasting, because when his brother and some other men that reported to him that, hey, the Jews, they're out of exile and so on. But them say Jerusalem mash up. It mash up. It like waste. Waste. Even after hearing the bad news, Nehemiah still continued to fast and pray. But he still wanted God to tell him exactly what to do. And even after God revealed to him what he had to do, a bigger question, Nehemiah questioned God. He must say, sure. And he must go just, and he's just asking and going around. Your assignment will have you asking questions. And it is totally normal. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to have a conversation with him. It's okay to ask God for confirmation. So if you're doing anything and you're like, God, are you sure? It is fine. It's not that you're being irreverent. God wants you to talk to him. I think sometimes we think that prayer is about showing our eloquence. We think that prayer is about, oh, I'm a mighty warrior. No, the warrior is the heart that God is looking at. He's saying, okay, come to me, talk to me, tell me what is laid on your heart, and I'm going to guide you through this. I'm going to walk you through this. When David declared in Psalm chapter 23, he said that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You think that the assignment that is being revealed to you, are you alone going to carry the burden? No, you're not going to bring the burden by yourself. The Lord is I think my thing came off a while ago. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God was revealing to Paul exactly what he wanted him to know. And so no matter what the assignment is, God is going to send a confirmation. God doesn't work with confusion. He doesn't work with chaos. He works with clarity, and peace. Always remember that. Another thing is that God doesn't wait for you. He doesn't wait for you to be perfect to assign the assignment to you. What do I mean by that? Let me use scripture to back that up. Nehemiah, when he realized that God was saying, okay, this is what I wanted to do, Nehemiah. So he confirmed what he wanted him to do, and then he presented the instructions to him. Nehemiah started to say, but in other words, God, you know, she said, me and the least in my family, actually, I come from the weakest clan. That's what Nehemiah said. He said he's from the literal weakest clan, the least in his family. In basically, I say, man or nobody. And how many times many of us, we are called to a certain level. And we're like, God, I don't think I can do that, though. God, me never ever do that before. You think me can't really do that? And you question it because you think that what you're going to do is out of your self-will. You think it's going to come from your strength. You're wrong. This has nothing to do with you. So whatever God has called you to do and whatever assignment he's revealing in you and through you, he will help you and sustain you. So, you know, they always say, whatever God bring it to, he will also lead you through it. That is exactly what it means. He's going to be there and guide you. Amen. And the last part that I want to focus on is your assignment will reshift your vision and centralize your focus. In other words, Paul, he was actually on his way to get other Christians bound. Yeah, he'd be ready to go lock them up. At the same time, my God, Damascus for a whole evil purpose. And it was in that moment that God snatched him from it. And they said, right, that's what's going to happen. But when it happened, it didn't just be dandy dandy where he said, all right, I'm going to just take Paul now. I'm going to just put him yourself. No. God had to do something in him. 3 days without sight. Do you understand the possible discomfort that Paul felt? This was a man who always saw. He always could see. I know he can't see. He must be frustrated. He must be all stirred up. He must be like, Lord, what
Oh
upon
God,
yourself? And how
Jesus.
many times have we been in situations where we feel like we literally feel like he has forsaken us? He has not. He has not forsaken you. But it could be that you're in your season where the vision is being reshifted. It could be that you are in your season where God is
My God,
revealing the
my God.
assignment he has for you, but he might be stir things up. He might be move things up. And then guess what? He's going to send confirmation. So tonight is not just revealing, God is not just revealing the assignment to you, but whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever it is that you're lacking, whatever it is that you need restoration with, he's going to send confirmation. He's going to send a person to tell her, listen, this is what is happening. He's going to send that brother to pray for you, that sister to pray for you through that situation. It doesn't matter what it is, he is going to definitely guide you through it. He's telling you tonight that he's going to sustain. He might tell me to. He's going to sustain you through whatever it is that he is revealing in you. So that is the word that the encouragement I wanted to share with you tonight. I hope that your hearts are blessed. And I will turn over to Sister Camille or Brother Deacon Scott. I'm not sure who you want to talk to. In Jesus' name, God bless you, everyone.
Bless the Lord. God
God
bless
bless
you,
you.
Sister Chantal.
Bless
To
the
God be the
Lord.
glory.
Praise
What a
God.
word.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
We just bless God. We just bless God for that encouragement, that word, that transformative word, and the way you present it. So I would sit and listen to you for the
Yes,
whole
sir.
night, being encouraged by that word. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Yes, I know our sister Camille can't wait to share what God would have laid on our heart. Amen. I know there is a burning desire within. There is like a fire shut up within our bones even now. And she's just waiting to explode. She's just waiting to give God the glory. She's just waiting to let God use our voice. So we cover her as she come. We pray, Spirit of the Living God, you'll fall afresh upon her, that you will anoint her afresh. I pray,
In
God,
the name of
that from the
Jesus.
soul, from every part, every angle, our hands, our feet, our head, flow down the rivers of living waters, down through mighty God. I pray that as the word would come forth, it will fall on good soil and it will bring forth fruit in its season, that your woman will be empowered for ministry now and forevermore. We welcome her. And the platform, we welcome her. There will be no interference. There will be no disturbance
In
in
the name of
Jesus'
Jesus.
mighty name. Woman of God, it's over to you. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless
Praise
God.
God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the holy name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I greet you tonight, brethren, in the worthy name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for that word. Sister Chantal, truly encouraging and truly, it was a word that was needed. And so I receive it. It was a blessing to my heart. And I bless the Lord for you, Sister Chantal. Hallelujah. As you continue to open up yourself, that God will continue to pour into you and empower you for ministry. God bless you. And thank you again. Thank you for walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Saints of God, I pull my strength tonight from the Lord, God of heaven. Amen. The word of God says, the joy
Amen.
of the Lord
Amen.
is my strength. And tonight, I'm
Amen.
going to hold God to that word. I'm going to pull, hallelujah, on that word
Yes.
in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you say, I'm excited, Deacon. I receive the excitement. As you speak it, I receive it in
Amen.
Jesus' name. Praise God. And so, brethren, tonight we gather once more to go into the Word of God, to study the Word. The Word says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. And we have been going into the Word of God and we have been growing as a ministry, and we give God all the glory where that is concerned. We will tonight continue to examine the gifts of the Spirit. And my intention tonight is to close off the fivefold ministry. And I think let me say my intention, unless the Holy Spirit says otherwise, but that will be our last night tonight on the gifts of the Spirit for this season until the Holy Spirit would give us utterance again. Amen. So that is my intention, but Jesus is boss. Amen. Praise God. And so we just a quick recap of what we have been looking at. For the past couple of months. Well, in the last Bible study, we looked at the fivefold ministry, as was mentioned in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, right? Where the Word of God says that Christ equips his church through apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, each with a unique role, yet all working together. Amen. So these members or these roles within the fivefold ministry are, as we would have said in the last study, they are God ordained. You know, they are not titles or ranks. They are just endowments, empowerments given by the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to individuals to operate in such an office, as was mentioned. Now, each of these offices have a unique assignment, but each of them are equally important and they all work together to bring balance, unity, and maturity to the church. And the comparison that we use, the analogy that we use was the five fingers on one hand when we looked at the fivefold ministry. And we said that the thumbs are like the apostles. They touch and strengthen every other ministry by laying foundation and by bringing order. We looked at the prophets. We say that they're like the index finger. They point the direction, revealing God's heart and purpose. We talked about the evangelist, which is like the middle finger, which is the longest finger on the hand, and it signifies reaching the farthest to win souls and to spread the gospel. Pastors are like the ring finger, we said, symbolizing care, relationship, and covenant as they shepherd God's people. And then the teachers are like the pinky finger, grounding the church in truth and bringing balance through sound doctrine. Bless the Lord. And the last time we went in depth when we looked at the office of the pastor and the office of the teacher. Amen. And so tonight we're going to start with the office of the evangelist. Anybody wants to share with me what comes to your mind or what you think, somebody who operates in this office, somebody who has the title of an evangelist, what comes to your mind when you think about this? It's a discussion. We want to hear from you. Share with us.
If I may, I would say focusing on soul winning, evangelize with the main focus of soul winning, soul restoration, remarrying the backsliders, getting
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon. Is there anybody else?
sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
bringing it to the world.
Bless the Lord. In a nutshell, pretty much. And so the person who operates in this office, the office of an evangelist, is more than a preacher, right? A preacher would spread the gospel. They would share the word. They would, bring the word to the world. But it's more than that for this person. This office is marked by a life that clearly reflects the good news of Jesus Christ. So, bless the Lord. And I see something that came in the chat. It says, bless the Lord. I'm sorry. All right. So, yes, yeah, so this person who operates in this office reflects good news of Jesus Christ. It's clearly reflected in their lifestyle. And that's how we see evangelism as a lifestyle for these individuals. So that's one of the key things. One of the other things that were mentioned earlier by Deacon and seconded by Elder Edwards was their passion for winning souls. Yes, these persons who operate within this office has an intimacy with God, which fuels a strong passion for winning souls. And it doesn't matter how these persons go about winning souls. The important thing is that souls are won for the kingdom of God. So whether it's through a large gathering or it is through personal witnessing, personal encounters with different individuals or their lifestyle, they have an intimacy that, it fuels that passion. It pulls persons to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the person in this office, their ministry produces visible fruit, meaning true salvation and changed lives. It's not just, witnessing and sharing and then persons agree and, say, and it's an emotional experience. And then by tomorrow, the person is back where they started. Persons with this sort of grace, persons operating in this office, ministry that they operate with through the power of the Holy Spirit produces visible fruit. That means salvation come, and not just salvation, change lives come. You notice transformation comes. Amen. And because of this, it confirms that these are not, there's a special anointing to these persons that rests upon them. Amen. To do just that and to bring glory to God. Praise God. The persons who operate in this office or the evangelists use scriptural and spirit-led strategies to reveal and enthrone Christ in the heart of man. So their strategies are not, ordinary. They're not the common ones. You find that, they do things outside of the box. And it's not because of them. It's because these persons, that office comes with a grace just for that. They're empowered to do exactly that. Amen? So they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to win soul. And what that means is that they have a supernatural empowerment to do that. And because of that, as I said earlier, their strategies are versatile, they're unconventional, and they're often unpredictable because they're led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to share an experience with you about an individual who, would have won so many souls for the kingdom of God and the strategy that he would have used. I remember starting Bible college when I was back in Jamaica, and I was doing this course, this very course, Evangelism and Assimilation. And my lecturer at the time was a minister within the church. And he would have shared how he used sports or football to win souls. Now, when we think about winning souls, we think about maybe invasion, what they call it, like the prayer walks. You go out into the community, you say you're invading the community, and you tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you invite them to church and stuff like that. I mean, that's where I would go. But here comes this man of God who used sports. So what he did, he is from Kingston. And so he went into this community where a volatile community, where, people, maybe the church wouldn't even go out because a gunshot and the violence and stuff, and they would possibly say, and this is hypothetical, no, what I'm saying. It's hypothetical in terms of they could possibly say, we have to use wisdom. We're not going out there like that. Let's wait until the war quell or whatever. But this man of God went into that community and started a football league. So, men are sports, right? Men love sports. And so these young men and, he would form teams and the teams enter. Let me say, enough young men would have been there who would have, been unsaved, right? And so he launched the league and he went out there and, people sign up to be a part of the league. And him and him church family, I believe they formed that team and they went and then play in the league. So guess what happened? And they launched a crusade there same time too. Both of them work hand in hand. So in the day, they would have the football competition. And then in the night would be the crusade. So the Christians now that were playing against the unsaved, they weren't named as Christians. They're just a team. So them just man to man, man to man a player, right? And so they would use it as an opportunity to invite those who, the ones who were unsaved to church. So come back at church tonight, man. You play football now or whatever. Come back at church tonight. And so they had the crusade. And mark you, a lot of these unsaved young men would have gone to the crusade that night, to know that I'm a brethren, what did I play football with me in that? Let me just go, And so they went. And when they went this particular night, he was the one that was bringing the word. And as minister would have preached, he was a minister at the time, he's a pastor now, as he would have preached the word of God, and the Holy Spirit would have moved and brought the word to the hearts of these individuals, they began to surrender. And so what would have happened is one of these young men said that he wanted to talk to the minister. He wouldn't go to the altar. He wouldn't talk to anybody else. He wanted to talk to the minister. And so when he would have, set off and gave persons around the altar, working the altar and whatever, he went to talk to the young man. When he go talk to the young man, guess what happened now? The young man gave him a gun. Surrender and give him the gun and say, listen, the word where you preach reach me now.
My God.
And immediate transformation. He was ready to lay down the gun. He was ready to turn from that life. My God, you see that sort of impact. And when I heard it, I marveled. And I said, sports? Sister Camille would have never think about that, you know? And so it just goes to show that their ways are not the ways that we would think of, because God would have given them that grace, you know, to reach people in unusual and unpredictable ways. The young man baptized and in church. So it's not even like it was just an emotional experience and by tomorrow they're back. Is a committed man of God. Amen. And it just shows that these persons are really equipped. The power of God is not him of himself. It's the anointing that is on his life, the grace that God has given him to do the task. Empowerment comes from the Holy Spirit, not to for us to have and to show and to it is to do a task. When God anoints us, it's not for us to sit, it's for us to go out and do a task. And he's operating in that gift effectively, you know? And so many persons were baptized because of that league, that football league. Amen. Praise God. I continue. And I think I saw some messages in the chat. Sister Lynette says, some people go to the bar. Yes, some use the rum bar. Yes, Sister Lynette, it's true. Sister Allison said, meet people where they are. And it's true, you know, Sister Allison, because sometimes when we go and if they feel like, you know, and if we present ourselves as Christians, if we present ourselves in a certain way, like we can't reason with them, or like we're mightier than thou, or we're holier than thou, we can't meet them where they are. They don't want to have anything to do with us, you know? I remember I would have shared my testimony online several times. About where I was, you know, me used to go dance and all of that. And I remember going in an invasion in my community. Some of the same people them when we used to go dance with me see them, you know. And when we would walk, I would go into the bar. I remember going into the bar not so far from the church one of the nights, and I was just talking to them. And me, I said, look here, me and you reason, man. Me, I say, I used to go dance, you know. Me say, yeah, man. And me and you don't. And me and you did the in front of sound box and we are do whatever. And me, I say, yeah, man. Then me this. And me, I tell you, say, give Jesus a chance, man. Look on me. Me said, the only regret me have is because me never do it earlier. You know? And this, I remember this gentleman said, me, I come to church, you know? Me, I come to church, but just because of you. If me see what God I do for you, then me, I go come, say, can't do it for me too. You know? And so it's really important that we meet people where they are, Sister Allison. Thank you for sharing. Praise God. All right, we continue. The main focus of a person who operates in this office is reaching the unreached, winning souls for the kingdom. And you may be wondering, what is the difference between a regular believer and one who operates within the office of an evangelist? Because we are all called. Amen. God would have called all of us, as is stated in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus gave us the command, say, go into the world and preach the gospel, reaching all nations, right? And this is a mandate that is given to every believer. Praise God. So we are called, all of us, as once you're a believer, once you're a child of God, you are called to go forth to share the gospel, to make disciples, and to win souls. However, those persons who operate within that office, they carry that unique grace, that empowerment from the Holy Spirit to perform the same task that we do, but because it's their gift, they perform it with a greater effectiveness. Amen. You ever see somebody who's a hairstylist braid your hair as opposed to somebody who just learned to plait? Both of them plait, you know. Right? And even if both of them look good, you can't tell, no man, this one was done by the professional. Right? And so because of that, because you can't see the difference. And so it's the same. Those who operate within this office have a greater effectiveness. They're anointed with divine creativity, boldness, and flexibility that allows them to reach people in powerful and impactful ways, way more than the ordinary believer. And we're going to look at where Sister Camille get this information from. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we look at verses 26 to 40. And I'll just sum it up real quick so that we can move on. and you can read it in your own time. But Acts 8, verse 26 to 40 gives a clear example of the fact that, evangelists are empowered for service through the life of Philip the evangelist, right? Now, on the road to Gaza, Philip met an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading from the book of Isaiah but couldn't understand it. Now, Philip, led by the Holy Spirit, went, explained the scriptures to this man, this eunuch, and spoke to him about salvation through Jesus Christ. Philip did not speak as an ordinary man. He speak through the power of the Holy Spirit because he was empowered to do such a task. And as the word was released, it was released with a great conviction. As this man now began to understand what was being said, the eunuch believed and desired to be baptized immediately. He saw the water and said, "There is water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" And so this encounter with between this man, the eunuch, and evangelist Philip shows how the Holy Spirit work through an evangelist to bring conviction, to bring clarity, and to bring transformation. Can you see transformation happening immediately? You ready? Put down the Bible, I'm ready for go be baptized. This was his initiation. It's not Philip says, "You want to be baptized?" There's no, he said, "There's water. What is stopping me?" He was so ready to change his life. And that's because of the conviction that it came with, that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say to us, though I would have probably said it earlier, that not every believer will have these same results, right? Many persons, many of us, we've been witnessing faithfully sometimes for years without seeing immediate conversions. And it's not because we're not doing things right. It's no fault of ours. We continue to do it faithfully. We continue to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We continue to pray, believing that one day it will happen, right? But we have these individuals who God would have anointed for this mission that sometimes them talk to less than a minute or just within minutes, and people them just ready. That's a grace. That is nothing man-made. That is not nothing man-made. That is nothing that we can do of ourselves. That is the divine help of the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference between a regular believer who goes out to share the word and a person who operates in this office. Praise God. This difference reveals that conversion is not a result of human effort, but supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. This is a part of their purpose, so they are anointed for it. Now, people who walk or operate within this office, they have a natural desire or drive for prayer. They want to win souls, and they're so passionate about winning souls. But they know that it's not just me, Camille, who can go out there and win souls. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need the insight. I need the foresight. I need everything from the Holy Spirit. And so, because of that, they spend a significant amount of time seeking the Lord for power before going out to witness. And when we look at Acts chapters 1 and 2, Acts chapters 1 and 2, it shows how the disciples were in prayer, right? And they were in one accord as they waited for the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit came, they were empowered on the day of Pentecost. And Peter went out. They went out and Peter preached. And guess what happened? 3,000 persons were saved in one day. Amen? That's not a usual thing to happen. That's a move of God, right? And so they would have spent time in prayer prior to going out. But not only were they saved. Remember we said earlier that, this kind of grace brings transformation, right? It not only were they saved, when you read the scriptures going on, you realize that they repented, they received the word of God, and they were baptized on that same day. So this confirms that it wasn't just an emotional encounter. It wasn't just for a public show that, these persons say, "Yes, I want to serve the Lord," right? It was covenantal experience reflecting the transformation that was stated earlier, Right? Bless the Lord. Anybody has anything to share? Anything to add? Any questions so far as I continue? All right. Bless the Lord. So in that scripture, in that moment, we see the power and grace of the evangelistic gift in full operation, right? Producing results that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish through a willing vessel. Now, the same pattern continues today with people who operate in that office. I would have shared the experience earlier about the man of God who would have used the football league to win many souls. And there is a certain evangelist that functions under the anointing of the Holy Spirit who operates within not my local church, but he is affiliated with the Church of God of Prophecy, right? He's an evangelist there. And I know of instances where this man of God would go out and would minister, keeping like crusades, like possibly for a week, and multiple souls were saved and baptized within that week. At one point, up to 32 souls within a short period of time, saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, transformed lives. Amen. I've seen that evangelist preach at camp before, 15 persons. 1 week. When we say camp is a week long. You start the Sunday, you leave the Friday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and by half day Friday, you get to Friday morning for baptism. 15 persons to be baptized by the evangelist. You know, and it just shows the move of God, right? People would respond to with an unusual openness to these individuals. They respond because they're convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Their hearts begin to soften because those people, they carry the grace to do these things, soften their hearts, open their minds, you know, and they have receptive hearts and they say yes, and the transformation begins to happen. Praise God. And so the office of the evangelist demonstrates God's heart for lost souls and reveals the supernatural power of the gospel when it is carried by a vessel who has been called, equipped, and set apart for this divine assignment. Praise God. Anybody wants to share on the office of the evangelist? Any experiences you have? Any questions before we move into the office of the
You
prophet?
know, Sister Camille, if I may,
Amen.
these people, these evangelists, you know, they use common day-to-day words that we normally use, and yet it has so much power when they use it. When the right words is used by an individual that God would have indwelt them with, it comes forth different from how a person without that anointing would come forth. We'd have to be there beseeching and begging. You know, as I said, with Evangelist Philip in the Bible, he didn't have to tell the Ethiopian eunuch to go baptize or
Right.
whatever, or coerce him in any way for him to be baptized. It's left now with the word, the impact of the word, and the soul of the Ethiopian eunuch would let him say, "What must there is water. What hinder me to be baptized?" You know, he knows that that will follow with acceptance of the word. And so when the evangelist working in his or her gift, you know, is a powerful force to reckon with when
Amen.
God is at work. Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon. Yes, you rightly put it. Simple words, you know, and the truth is, if you should, you know, be there and listen to what them say, you find yourself say the same exact words and it doesn't have the same impact because it is released with a sort of power, with a sort of anointing, my God. And because of that, it brings conviction. I see Sister Lynette says they are skilled in presenting the gospel. Yes, absolutely. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are sold out to God. Obedience is their way of life, no matter what. Them do what God has called them to do. Yes, Sister Chantal, the anointing will always make the difference. Absolutely. Try doing it without the anointing and see what happens, no? My God, praise God. Bless the Lord. And so we continue to look at the fourth office of the fivefold ministry. And this one is the office of a prophet. Anybody wants to tell me what they think? Just anything that you want to share about these individuals who operate in the office of a prophet. We're quiet tonight, man.
Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
When I think about the prophet, I think about someone who God would have chosen to or reveal things that we can't see, but things to actually help the church going forward. So like the eyes of the church then in a sense. So they would be given whether through a dream or maybe through a vision, something that the church should know. But they are the eyes that God is based. Can you know, God use all of us for different things? So I believe those persons are the eyes then, the four warners. That's the way I want to describe it.
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you. On a bright man. Praise God. Anybody else wants to share? They're the mouthpiece. All right. I hear they're the eyes. I hear they're the mouthpiece. Yes, because they see and then they speak. So, yes, presented with accuracy. Anybody else? All right. As we go along, feel free to unmute and share. We want to hear what you're thinking. Amen. Praise God. Now, the persons who operate in the office of a prophet is one of the fivefold leadership gifts listed in Ephesians 4:11. A prophet is called and anointed by God. By God. Yes, to speak his heart, reveal his will, and to give direction to the body of Christ. Amen. They are called, anointed by God. And I keep saying by God because nowadays so many persons, they are self-appointed, and nothing against any one person, but the truth is this is a calling and this is an appointment by God. Yes. They use it as a title, and you have prophet this and prophetess that. But these individuals who operate in the office of a prophet, they are called, anointed, and appointed by God. Amen. And so they speak the heart of God, they reveal the will of God, and they give direction to the body of Christ. They help the church to stay aligned. See me tell the son of bright. They help the church to stay aligned with God's voice by providing guidance. They provide encouragement, correction if they need to, and they provide confirmation. All right? So they guide, they encourage, they correct, and they confirm. And they do this according to how they are led by the Holy Spirit. A true prophet of God only speaks what God has allowed him to speak. Amen. Yes, minister, they give warnings as well. Yes, absolutely. Warnings and, I put that under guidance because when the warnings come, then listen, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. So, it's kind of like guiding you to say, you need to turn away from this and do this, or this is going to happen. So is that guidance to keep you in line? But yes, they do warn. So this person who operates in this office, they discern spiritual matters, right? They discern spiritual matters. The gift of discernment in these individuals, very sharp. And when you're talking about a prophet who is mature, then discernment sharp and well developed. And these individuals, as I would have said earlier, they speak only when God would have permitted them to. Amen. They foretell. Yes, they do foretell, which is, what is foretell? foretell and forthtell. They do both, but I think foretell is like a warning, right? Yes. So they foretell, so they tell things that will happen, and they forthtell, they speak things into existence, things from the word of God, speaking it over your life into existence and into existence. And that's really what a prophecy is, right? The next thing, I see Sister Chantal add. Divine scrutiny. What do you mean, Sister Chantal?
Like, do they use scrutiny to help to guide the people of God then? In terms of like critical observations and examining and stuff like that. Is that a part of their office?
Not to my knowledge. I'm not 100% sure, but I can find out. But I
Okay.
would, if they speak what God shows them and what God tells them to do, then if God not tell me not do it, even if I see it, I will only do it if God tells me to do it. Make sense? But I'll definitely find out, Sister Chantal, and we can clarify that. As unless somebody else wants to share in that regard. All right. So to be continued, instead of leaving with wrong information, let's put a pause, let's dig, and let's come back in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, the next thing is that these individuals uncover truths. They uncover truths that are not immediately visible to the believer. And I'm going to tell you where I got this information. When I look at Amos 3, verse 7. Right, we're looking at the fact that prophets uncover truths that are not immediately visible to a believer. Amos 3:7 reads, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but revealeth his secret unto the servants of his servants, the prophets." So this means that if they're uncovering truth, it's because God is giving them insight into it, Which means an average believer will not be able to uncover this truth because it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. That means that even if he not do nothing, this he will do. What will he do? Reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophet. And I think it's in other scriptures too where the Lord would have revealed that he re revealed his mysteries, his secrets unto his servants, the prophet. So this confirms that the Lord does speak to his servants, the prophets and the apostles, and he reveals secret to them. I want us to look at Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 5, and I'd like to have a reader for that passage of scripture, please. Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 5.
All right, we're at Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given unto me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Five, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets."
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Deacon. And this is just evidence to say that, listen, God does reveal his heart and his mind and his mysteries and his secrets to these persons who operate in the office of an apostle that we'll do a little for later, a little later on, and the office of a prophet. Yes, because verse 3 from my translation says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. And this was Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking, right? And verse 5 says, God did not reveal it to previous generations. That means, and not to everybody, but by his spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Amen. And so, yes, the prophet hears God's secret and the mysteries God discloses and speaks what God has spoken. Now, in doing this, the prophet helps believers to understand what God is saying in specific times and season. Because you know that we have a word, a specific word for a specific season. Amen. Not every word is fitting every for every season. And that's why God would have had, these persons who he would reveal himself to guide us, to warn us and to keep us along the path on which we should be going in Jesus' name. Praise God. Each similar to the fact that we need a word for each season we go through have specific instructions. Amen. And so the prophet is the one who helps uncovers the blueprint for the body of Christ, right? So for some, for a particular season, and I remember even here at Prayer Portal Ministries, there was a time that the word came, and the word for that season was, and I'm sure you'll remember too, men ought always to pray and not faint. You remember that season? And for a couple months, well, every time, and I would get sometimes become even so frustrated. I said, no, sir. They're almost tired of that. They want something now. But every time I would try to divert, it's like the Holy Spirit would just shift me back in gear to say, no, listen, this is the word for this season. And we could not let it go until we were allowed to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. So different seasons require different words, different in specific instructions, and the prophet is who God used to keep the body of Christ on the blueprint that he has for them. Praise God. Now, the prophetic ministry or the prophetic office is centered on revealing Christ through and his purpose, not simply by predicting future events. That's a part of it, but that's not all of it, right? True prophets speak, as I would have said, what God has command. They don't speak their own ideas, their desires or their assumptions. Their ministry, the ministry of a true prophet, is led entirely by the Holy Spirit. It's like you put all of your egg in a one basket. It's the Holy. If him no sister, why me can't sister? Because the Holy Spirit never said that, right? So this is not an office that someone can choose for themselves. As I would have said earlier, I would say, like I said, many persons are self-appointed, but a true prophet is called into that office. It is a divine calling. It's not just a desire. I desire to be a prophet, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to study the word, and I will go out and prophesy. No, it's a calling that requires obedience. Persons who are operating this office are called into this. Not to say that we can't prophesy, because Paul would have given us permission as believers to prophesy, right? And that would bring us to the next point, that not everybody who prophesies is a prophet. As believers, we can still prophesy, but it still does not mean that we operate in the office of a prophet, right? So we can still prophesy, we can foretell. You can speak the word of God over your life. That's forthtelling, right? But in terms of being identified as a prophet or somebody who operates in that office, we must be called by Almighty God. And then we walk in obedience. And when in call we have to do what and tell if we do. We have to say what and tell if we say in Jesus' name. In Acts 13, verse 1 and 2, we see an example of this where it clearly demonstrates two prophets that were called by God. Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. In the book, in the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, among them Simeon, Barnabas, and Saul, were fasting, praying, and worshiping. As they sought God, the Holy Spirit spoke, saying, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do." The others then prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them out. Right? He called for Barnabas and Saul. Now, Simeon or Simon couldn't just decide, say, boy, I may come with you, you know. I may have, and then gone out there, gone talk and say, yes, this is what God has said. No. So they prayed for them, laid hand on them, and then sent them out because God would have specifically called those two individuals. Right? Their assignment came directly from God, and they acted only under his instructions. Likewise, anyone operating in that office today must move only at the Holy Spirit's direction. Not by personal will or self-appointed authority. Persons who are called into this office have a strong sensitivity to God's voice. Remember, this is their calling, you know, this is their gift. So it would be heightened because they're empowered to hear the voice of God and then to speak as the Lord would give them utterance. Right? Just as Saul and Barnabas had a strong sensitivity to God's voice. These individuals have a persistent desire to pray. You don't operate in any of the offices in the fivefold ministry and not want to pray. It's going to require that discipline. It's going to require consistent, persistent prayer. You give your life to that ministry. You give your life to prayer. You surrender your life to the Lord. And so you have to be in constant dialogue with Him for Him to empower you. Hallelujah. So that you can go out and do what He has called you to do. Because it's not your doing. Is the Holy Spirit. And if you are not connected to Him at all times, there won't be that steering that would encourage or empower you to speak as God would have you to. Amen. Anybody has anything to share? Anything to add? Any questions so far? Praise God. Are we flowing? We're flowing, say flowing, man.
Flowing, flowing, sis.
Bless the Lord. Our
Flowing,
flowing. Bless the
flowing.
Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. And so we continue as I look now to wrap up the office of a prophet. Bless the Lord. No, and this is something I always say. It's not just for the gift, the person who operates in the office of a prophet, but it is for any believer who is given a gift from God. Right? You may be born with that gift, but you may never fully operate. And I say fully because it may come out, but you may never fully operate in that gift unless it is fed, it is cultivated. Amen. And just as Timothy was exhorted to stir up the gift, we are encouraged as believers, whatever gifts were given, to stir up that gift. And so the person with a prophetic calling needs to stir up that gift. Yes, you are called into that ministry, but you still need training. You still need to grow. You need faithful stewardship, right? You need to invest your time and your effort and prayer, hallelujah, to develop that gift. All the spiritual gifts, yes, they're given to us by the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to operate in them at their maximum potential, we must feed them. We must stir them. We must feed them with the word of God, feed them with prayer, feed them with fasting. You know, we must do what it takes in order to ensure that these gifts are fed so that they grow from one dimension to the next in Jesus' name. You have a baby that is born, and from the baby born, from I was born, and from even when I was young, I wanted to be a teacher. But I still had to go through formal training. It wouldn't just happen. I had to, grow up and go to school, primary school, then high school, then tertiary level education. Maybe like I've been to what, two, three different tertiary level education. And then I go out into the field, and then I still have to learn. Because even when you're done, get all of that, the knowledge there, you still have to learn how to apply the knowledge. You go in the classroom and how I teach today was not the way I taught 10 years ago, 14 years ago when I just started, right? So it shows, and that is how it is in the spirit. You still have to train your gifts. You still have to get the training that you need from somebody who is grown and mature. You still need to do what you need to do to ensure that these gifts grow. Because if we don't,
There's a risk that these gifts will become dormant. They don't manifest in their full expression, right? Praise God. Now, I have 3 points before I finish. The persons who operate in the office of a prophet is recognized through these three consistent signs. These are signs that you can use to know that persons operate in that office. They receive visions, as Sister Chantal would have said, they receive visions, dreams, or spiritual impressions from the Holy Spirit. I want to look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. It reads, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sums of the matter." So that is dreams that, they would be receiving through the power of the Holy Spirit from God, right? That's how the eye come in, Sister Chantal. When we look at Daniel 7 again, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." This verse highlights that Daniel received a clear prophetic vision. Even when others were around him, they could not perceive it, right? It's showing the kind of spiritual sensitivity that we mentioned earlier that these persons need to have, and the revelation that comes with operating within that ministry. Joseph, too, is one of those who would have had prophetic dreams, as would have been mentioned in Genesis 37, verses 5 to 10. The next point is that they carry a strong, and I said this earlier, a strong passion for prayer and intercession, like Samuel. Samuel the prophet stood as a prophet and an intercessor. And in Samuel 1, verse 23, we see where Samuel was committed to praying and interceding for the people, guiding them in the ways of God, saying to them, "I refuse to stop praying for you. God forbid, I refuse to stop praying for you." Right? And so he operated in that prophetic office. Elijah was one of those persons too who prayed with a strong passion and intensity. And God would have shifted circumstances through his intercession. Because in 1 Kings 18, verses 39 to 46, we see where Elijah would have prayed earnestly and in a very unusual posture too, seeking the Lord for rain, and the rain came. And before that, 3 years, 2.5 years before that, he was the one who spoke and the rain stopped, right? And then he would go back, go seek God and pray earnestly. And the rain came. And finally, these individuals who operate in that office, they maintain a lifestyle and message that remains firmly aligned with scriptures. They live the word of God. They live the word of God. And this is demonstrated by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Jeremiah is one of those prophets who would have spoken when God has given him a command. Even when it was unpopular, he still spoke it, you know? And when we have persons in this office, it's not always good news that they bring. Sister Lynette would have said they bring warnings sometimes, you know, break up your fallow grounds. Warnings come. It's not just, oh, you're going to be rich. Oh, you're going to have. You're going to get a house on the hill. You're going to have the nicest car. And it's all good and nice that when it sounds that way, when we're receiving it, right? But at the end of the day, maybe what God really wants to say to us is stop doing what you're doing. Prioritize me, you know? Put me at the front instead of all these nice things to stroke our ego, right? And so we have to be careful. And when you get a prophetic word, I'm not saying don't receive it. I'm saying seek the Lord about it. Because the Bible would have told us about false prophets, right? And my father would say, we're not at liberty to point on anybody to say, oh, you're false, are you real, or whatever. But the Bible also says, by the fruit you shall know them. You know? And so when you get that word, go to God yourself. Seek the Lord about it. Amen. Test the spirit. Amen. Praise God. Seek the Lord and make sure that this is what God wants for you. Anything to add to the office of a prophet before I do the office of an apostle? Any questions anybody want to share? All right, bless the Lord. Praise God. And so we move into the final gift, the final office gift, which is a thumb in the fivefold ministry, meaning it touches all the other offices. The office of the apostle is a spiritual leadership role given by God, and their job is to establish and oversee his church. Apostles are called to pioneer, guide, strengthen the body of Christ, and they're called to lay foundations in new ministries or communities. Apostles ensure that the church remains aligned with God's word. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, we see where Paul speaks of laying the foundation. This is Apostle Paul that we're talking about. He speaks of laying the foundation and emphasize the work of the apostle, the work that the apostles establish and strengthens God's spiritual host. Because it says, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Verse 11 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already laid, Jesus Christ, or other than the one that we already have, Jesus Christ. So this is Paul, confirming that, listen, as an apostle, my job is to lay the foundation, right? So that other churches, to establish other churches, they're like pioneers. God used them in that capacity to move the church forward, to strengthen the body of Christ, to establish new ministries and new communities. They are referred to as the sent ones, the sent ones. And their authority, once more, comes from who? Who do you think their authority come from? God.
Amen. It comes from God, not from human appointment. They come from God. They're equipped with the vision. They're anointed with the vision. They carry a vision to expand the kingdom of God. And when this happens, sometimes they would face challenges and opposition because their work is about building and advancing the church beyond what already exists. Now, scripturally, if we're talking scripturally, the original apostles were chosen by Jesus. Amen. And when we look, can I have a reader for Luke 6, verse 13? The original apostles were chosen by Jesus, as we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 13.
Amen. St. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he called apostles.
So the original apostles were chosen by Jesus, right? And he called them, called his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, and he named them apostles. Those are the original apostles. But when we look in Acts chapter 1, verses 2 to 8, we see where Paul was established as an apostle. So he wasn't called by Jesus when Jesus was on this earth, but he was still appointed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God continues to raise up apostles for the same purpose that he rose them up for in those days, to strengthen, to equip, to unify believers through the power
of the Holy Spirit. So while Paul was not among the original 12 apostles, right, he was still appointed by the Holy Spirit. And this is found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In a similar manner, God can anoint individuals in this era to operate in the office of an apostle. But it has to be, again, it has to be God ordained. It's not just a title. It's not just something that we take up and we just wear casually, right? The persons have to be called. Just like Jesus would have called his disciples, just as he would have appointed Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, these persons who may operate in this era, I do believe, can have the same title, but still has to be called by God. These persons have a strong inkling from God, sending them to establish or expand ministries. They have a strong desire to advance the kingdom of God, a strong desire that is not even explainable. It's just a burden that they carry. And they don't feel fulfilled or satisfied until these ministries have been established in places sometimes where the gospel is not fully, it not even reach it, you know, but they have that desire to establish the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God. And so when they would establish the church, lay that foundation, no, the evangelists would come in now and would spread the gospel and would win soul and harvest. And you know, there's a body of Christ there. And so it shows you how they work together. Remember, you know, people who operate in the offices of the fivefold ministry, they work together. And each of them, their task is very important as well, right? And this calling, like I said, comes from God, and it gives them a clear sense of direction and purpose. I'm not just talking about persons who just decide to get up and go. These persons are called by God, and God tell them exactly what to do with a clear sense of direction and purpose. Acts 13, verse 2 to 3 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and this is the scripture that we read earlier, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands and sent them off. Right? They are called and sent by God for a specific work. Second thing, the apostles or the apostolic ministry, these persons have a spiritual gifting in leadership, governance, and visions. Vision. They are called and equipped with the gift to lead. They don't just get up and be a leader, and you know they have the gift of leadership. You know there's a gift of leadership. Yes, man, it's in Romans 12 verses 6 to 8. It's there, right? So God would have called them, equipped them with the gift to lead and to organize and to guide the church, and then release them, you know, and would reveal to them the bigger picture of God's plan, right? And so he would release them to go out and establish these churches. So Romans 12, 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If it is leadership, do it differently. And this is a suggestion that leadership, you know, can be given as a gift. Praise God. Can I have a reader? I think this is the last let's era here for 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 28. I want to hear from somebody who has been quiet all night. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28?
All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse
Jesus.
28. Got it. And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Deacon. And so these verses show, or this verse show, that apostles carry leadership and governance gifts to guide and strengthen the church. The third thing and the final point that I have, apostles have the ability to mentor, to equip, and to strengthen other leaders. That's a strength that they have. True apostles, they mentor other leaders, they train them, they empower them, and they encourage them. They're not threatened by, other leaders. They train them and help them to operate in their gifts. Amen. So that they're able to function effectively because they understand that, it's not a one-man thing, And so when they do that, they empower other leaders, they empower the church or encourage the church to function effectively. They help the church to grow in unity and to grow in maturity. And I just testify tonight that I'm a product of strong and I will say indirect mentorship from an apostle in Africa. He doesn't know me, but I've learned so much from him. His name is Apostle Joshua Selman. And I do believe that, he operates in that office and the Holy Spirit of God has fully empowered him, to operate with that in that office with effectiveness. Amen. I do believe that he has multiple gifts. Yes, he's an apostle, but I think he operates in the office of a teacher as well, in the office of an evangelist. And when you get some time, check him out. He's online, Apostle Joshua Selman. I've seen teachings or services where he would have brought the word. And when he did altar call, when you see people, mercy Jesus, that man, I do believe the Holy Spirit, I believe he has opened up his members fully, and the Holy Spirit has released an anointing upon him. And I believe that he's operating in the fullness of that gift or of those gifts. And he's a singing preacher, so he ministers under the anointing. So, and I'm a product of his indirect mentorship. Yes, I watch his teachings online. I seek the Lord, and I experience transformation. It's one of those man of God where you're watching the thing that he's presenting, and it's just so you sit down. Somebody even talk to you, I say, hold on a little bit. Let me just finish this little part, Or you say, hold on, and you pause it. You don't want to miss a word. Amen. And it's not of himself. And he always makes it clear that what he does is fully, this empowerment comes fully from the Holy Spirit. He never takes credit. Such a man of such humility and meekness, and the fruits are there to show, yes, this is somebody who operates in that office. Hallelujah. And so when so yes, he and he would have shared too, very quickly, let me just share. He would have shared that years ago the Lord would have spoken to him. I recently saw this, his testimony. The Lord have spoken to him and told him that there will come a time when the impact that he have, will be worldwide. And so he should start recording his teachings. And that's how he started recording his teachings. And it's manifesting now. When I hear him say, Mr. God, you did not do that for Sister Camille, because I would have benefited so much from him, from his experiences, from his teachings, because he would have recorded them. I've never met him. It's one of my desires to go to Africa to meet him. Praise God. Let's continue. Ephesians 11, 4, verse 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of service. So the body of Christ may be built up. And the apostles play a key role in developing leadership so that the body of Christ will be built up. Amen. Persons who are called to operate in this office often receive confirmation through prayer. So they spend a lot of time in prayer, right? They receive confirmation through prayer, through the word, and through the testimony of mature believers. They don't just get up and say, oh, I hear the Holy Spirit telling me that I'm calling to this office. And so, yes, I'm going to operate as such. You need testimony of mature believers because God would have given his wisdom, you know, for those who are before us. Amen. And so we need their testimony to say, yes, I can confirm that this is what the Lord is saying. Praise God. And so as we close off this season of Bible study on the gifts of the Spirit to include the offices of the fivefold ministry, I want to remind us tonight that God equips his church both with both spiritual abilities and divinely appointed roles for a purpose. The purpose of guiding, the purpose of building and leading his people into maturity. I will say to us, each of us has a unique gift or has unique gifts, amen, and unique calling. And God desires that we seek him earnestly to discover what those gifts are that he has placed within us. Amen. Once that has happened, I encourage you, I charge you to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Allow His Holy Spirit to lead you. Spend time in His presence and in prayer. Hallelujah. And you will be led to a life of transformation. I urge us one more time. You have learned about the gifts of the Spirit, and we are pausing here for this season. Let us seek the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord. Search the Word to see if we can identify within ourselves what those gifts are. You know, ask God to rise up somebody. If you hear someone you're not sure, rise up a mature believer who can speak to us and say, yes, I see that you have the gift of intercession. I see that you have the gift of teaching. I see that you're called to operate in the office of a pastor. Amen. But let us be intentional in walking, because the gifts that God has given us is not for our personal gains. Amen. Therefore, they're equipping us for the purpose that God would have aligned to us. Amen. And so if we don't know what those gifts are, and if we don't know what the purpose is, then we can never effectively operate as God would have called us. Let this season be a reminder to us that we live intentionally, that we walk in the authority of God, and that we allow the power of God to work through us to bless others and to impact generations for the glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Praise God. And so just join with me as I go into prayer right now before I hand over in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you today, God Almighty, that you have edified us with your word. You have allowed us for this season, which has come to an end, Lord God Almighty, to learn about the gifts, the empowerment, the ammunition, Lord, that you have given unto us to war this season, to empower us, Lord God, to carry out our purpose. Ah, God Almighty, I thank you that you have exposed them to us. Oh God Almighty, you have exposed them to our understanding. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that as the teaching, the information, the knowledge would have been shared, that it will rest within us. That, Lord God Almighty, we will look for the areas, oh God Almighty, that were shared, the areas to identify them. We will read your word about them. We will read your word in general, mighty God. We will seek you. We will pray. We will, oh God Almighty, seek after your face, that these gifts, mighty God, hallelujah, though we were born with them, may experience a stirring inside of us, may experience, God Almighty, a fanning inside of us by the power and by the fire of Almighty God. And so, when this has come to pass, Lord, and we have given birth to these gifts, Lord God Almighty, just like we have given birth to a baby, and you have to nurture that baby, God Almighty, and feed the baby, Jesus Christ, and the baby grows and grows into maturity, and you gradually release that child. Then I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us the understanding, that you will give us the anointing, that you will give us the know-how, God, to nurture those gifts, Almighty God. Hallelujah, that we may go forth and be able, Lord Jesus Christ, to experience growth from dimension to dimension in these gifts, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we continue to look to you. We continue to look to you, God Almighty, so that you will give us an understanding, so that those, God, who would have seen the gifts in us and is able to share, oh, you have this gift, you operate in that gift, we will not doubt. We will not say, who this a person I talk to, but Lord God Almighty, we will receive it and in turn go forth to seek your face, Lord God Almighty, to see if this is your desire, hallelujah, and to seek empowerment, oh God Almighty, as to how, Jesus Christ, we may nurture these gifts into the fullest manifestation. Lead us as a ministry, Lord, and as we are edified, I look forward, Jesus Christ, to the manifestation of those gifts, the manifestation of the, oh God Almighty, of discernment of spirit, the manifestation of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, mighty God, the manifestation of the gift of healing, of the gift of miracle, mighty God, of all the different gifts, the manifestational gifts that we have done, we have given the knowledge, it has been released, we open up, Lord, and we're ready for you to bring that knowledge into application, so the power of God can manifest through your people, through the operation of these gifts. Lord, we look to you tonight and we thank you for hearing and for answering, and we call it done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray and we say amen and amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just shout hallelujah? I feel like we're too comfortable.
Hallelujah.
Can we just shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can we exalt
hallelujah.
The name of Jesus? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the God
hallelujah.
Of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for showing up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so as I come to a close right now, I will open the platform for anyone who wants any final remarks, anything that you want to share before I ask Deacon to close us off. Amen. Praise God. All right. Go ahead, Deacon. God bless you.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We give God thanks for Sister Camille. Amen. We have been fed, we have been edified, and it only can make us better from now on. No more yesterday. We're not living in yesterday anymore. Get strength for the journey ahead. We have Camille have taught us from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, mainly the fivefold ministries that describe the thumb as the apostles, the prophet, the index finger, evangelist as a middle finger, pastors as a ring finger, and teachers as a pinky finger. Those are good. Those terms are good to remember them by. Amen. That is office of the evangelist. Oh man, you know, called by God, intimacy with God, with prayer, you know, and they change life. Their focus is to win souls, to change life. And we have seen the various examples that should have used. They become all things to all men, that they may gain some in the end. Amen. They have to be really have a design specially cut out by God. The prophets, oh my God, you know, prophet called to prophesy, and not everyone that should have mentioned that, not everyone that prophesies is a prophet. Amen. We can prophesy and we are not a prophet. Amen. So don't get them confused and stuff. And we have learned and we have drenched in the word, and we just pray that God will just use that word, you know, that we have heard tonight. You know, should have mentioned to the effect that these persons in these ministries, in these gifts, are called and sent. We're not talking about the ones that went, because some went without being called. Amen. Yes, we're talking about the ones that are called for the mission, that particular office, and use it and serve it well. Amen. We bless God for you, Sister Camille. We pray God covering and anointing over you, continue over your family. We want to invite Sister Chantal to pray a prayer over you as before we dismiss, cover you in the name of Jesus. So was it in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. Sister Chantal.
Let us pray.
Yes, Lord.
Righteous and eternal Father, as we come before your presence once more, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor upon us. Your mercy is mighty, God.
Yes,
God. But as we pause tonight, Lord, Lord God, I come on behalf, Lord God, of your sister, mighty God, your daughter, mighty God, Sister Camille tonight, mighty
Lord.
God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for a special touch upon her life. Mighty God, I pray for a special renewal, mighty God, in every area and aspect of her life, mighty God. You know her needs, you know her situations, you know her struggles, mighty God. You know the things that she needs the most, mighty God, the areas that she wants more strength, mighty God. And so, Lord God, tonight we ask, Lord Jesus, that you just come in your fullness, mighty God. Show up with your abundance of blessing in her life, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, present a downpour, mighty God, of grace and favor in her life, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will anoint her, Lord God, from the very crown of her head, Lord, to the very sole of her feet, in the name of Jesus. Sanctify her body and subject, mighty God, her very will, her very desires to your will, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, as your word have declared unto us, Lord God, that we should mortify the very earthly things within us. Tonight, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you'll keep her, Lord God. Lord God, her mind in, Lord God, stayed upon you. Lord God, you promised that, Lord, you'll keep us in perfect peace. And so tonight, Lord God, whatever the storm, whatever, Lord God, the trials, Lord Jesus, that the things that are holding, Lord God, her back from certain things, mighty God. I pray tonight that you will clear the path, Lord Jesus. I pray tonight that you will clear her vision, Lord God, that she may step further, Lord God. Lord God, that she may be strengthened more within you, in the name of Jesus. You said that your, Lord God, your strength will be made perfect, Lord God, in our weakness.
Yes, Lord.
And so tonight, mighty God, I pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen her tonight, Lord God, on the days when she feels weary, on the days when it feels like it cannot work enough. Mighty God, I pray that your grace will cushion her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, you see her workload, you see her family. Mighty God, I pray that you will step into, Lord God, every situation, every corner. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, her very household, touch her husband, touch her son, her mother, mighty God, her other extended family members, mighty God, I pray that you pour, Lord God, a blessing upon them right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray that your angels will encamp around about them right now, in the name of Jesus. Be their shield and their fortress, mighty God, be their strong rock, anchor them in you tonight, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, let them remember that you are the foundation and you stand the shore, mighty God. You will not fall, you will not stumble, mighty God, because you are our firm foundation. And so tonight, Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord God, whatever the situation of sickness, of pain, mighty God, in any aspect of our life, Lord God, I pray for healing tonight, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I pray, Lord God, that you rest upon her, Lord God. Lord Jesus, may your will, mighty God, the calling that you have for her life tonight, Lord God, I pray that it will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I pray that you will strengthen her, Lord God, as she even answer to the call day by day.
Yes,
mighty God, we know it's a day by day relationship with you. Lord God, help her to continue to present herself as a living sacrifice unto you, holy and acceptable, mighty God, which is, Lord God, her reasonable service. And so tonight, Lord, we thank you for speaking through her. Thank you for using her. Thank you, Lord God, for continuing to lead her, Lord Jesus,
Hallelujah.
That she may, Lord God, walk in the will,
Lord,
and the calling that you you have for her life, Lord God. And even as we are here, Lord Jesus, remember the ones who are online tonight. Mighty God, you know their situation. You know their circumstances. Oh. Mighty God, you know the stress and the burdens. Mighty
yes,
God, that
Lord.
Some might be bearing within their minds, within their
Hallelujah.
Thoughts. Mighty God, our bodies have gotten so weary. Our bodies, mighty God, have gotten so tired. And so
yes,
tonight, Lord God, I pray for extra strength, physical strength tonight in the name of Jesus. Strengthen the cells, mighty God. The blood streams, mighty God. Fill that one, mighty God, with extra iron, mighty God, in the name of
Jesus.
Strengthen, Lord God, every single cell tonight in the name of Jesus. The enemy is trying to use everything against us. He wants us to have all the excuses in the world. But mighty God, I pray tonight that you will lift up your people, that you will raise them, Lord God, up, Lord Jesus, to fight, mighty God, even if they have to crawl tonight, even if they have to creep tonight, mighty God. We know that every day won't be the same, Jesus, but we know that, Lord God, with you in our vessel, we can smile at every storm. And so speak to your children tonight, Lord God. Lord God, lift up, Lord God, let them lift up their weary faces, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that they shall mount up with wings as eagles, mighty God. They shall run, mighty God, and not faint, mighty God. They shall not get weary in well doing. Tonight, mighty God, we're praying for strength. Strengthen your people tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, strengthen your people tonight in the name of Jesus. Have your own mighty way, Lord God. I pray that you'll continue to protect us, continue to provide for us, mighty God, even as we end this week, Lord Jesus. Be with us in the cars, in the planes, when we're walking, Lord God, wherever we are, our workplaces, mighty God, we know that the devil is lurking and that evil is coming, mighty God, because his only, Lord God, job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy us. So, Lord God, I pray that you, Lord God, a hedge of protection will surround us tonight, Lord God, each and every individual in the name of Jesus. Blood coverage, mighty God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I fail of asking you for, I pray that it will be done according to your will. In the mighty name of Jesus, we seal this prayer and we say, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Yes, and this opportunity, I want to take, use this opportunity to welcome all of you tonight. I want to welcome those that have been worshiping with us the first time. I'm looking through, I was seeing some individuals, but I guess they couldn't carry. But thank God for the Morgan's family that are here tonight. We want to bless God for you. We welcome you. We're looking forward to see all of you again next time we meet online, same platform, next Saturday. We give God thanks. Come and be a blessing. Amen. Amen. And if anyone among us tonight that haven't received the free grace, accepted the free grace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and accept him in your life as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we want to give you this opportunity. You can indicate now or in the chat, you can speak to any one of us or whomever would have invited you. And we know God is able to make all grace abound, change you for the best. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
With nothing further to say, is there any other announcement that we may have been missing? If not, I will just dismiss you.
Amen. Yes, Deacon. I just want to invite everybody out. You would have said already on Saturday for Bible study. So I want to reiterate that on the same platform, and also want to invite you out next Thursday. We will be having a wellness seminar, you know, serving the Lord and serving within the ministry of God. Sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes we have some situations that are not addressed, you know, and we feel we don't know how to treat with it. We are hurt in the church and we don't know how to deal with it. You know, we are stressed for whatever reason, emotionally, mentally, and it's just a lot of things happening now. And so we just thought it would be a good time at the start of the year to be edified about wellness, Amen. Complete wellness through Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you out next week, Thursday, same time, 8 o'clock, same place, where we will be hearing from a dynamic speaker who will tell us how to navigate our way through the different
Amen.
scenarios that we would experience in the church. Because some of us are really struggling. Some of us are overwhelmed. Some of us are tired. We don't know how to balance. Some of us are fighting some battles, and we need ammunition. We need empowerment. And so the Lord has heard you, for those of you who are praying. And so we will meet next Thursday. Join us and invite somebody to join you. Invite a family member, invite five persons. Each of us invite five persons so that we can max
Amen.
The platform at 100. Amen. We had
Amen.
77 for the marriage and single seminar. Let's see if we can top that. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And also, one of our very own sister Chantal, who is the graphic designer for the ministry, all the posters and all the videos and so on that you see happening is Sister Chantal. It's her work. And so she has a brand, Shan's Designs. And so they're having a workshop tomorrow at 7, Sister Chantal. I think it's at 7.
Yes, sis, my microphone.
Praise God. At 7 p.m. And so if you are interested, we will have the link out. We will have it on our statuses. It will be posted in our group. So however you got on tonight, you will have access through that person to get the link to join, where she will be empowering us as to how to use Canva. You know, we're living in a technology age, so we use Canva to design and to do some other stuff that she will tell us that Sister Camille don't really know how to explain. But it promises to be a good experience. And so if you want to learn, if you want to just come on and see, you know, it's not for any age group in particular. As long as you're a person and you're alive, you can come on and learn. Amen. So that we're equipped. You don't know when you'll need the skill and you'll be able to use it. Amen. Because designing posters and stuff costs money, right? So we're going to be creating books. Okay. We're going to be learning how to create books. So join us tomorrow at 7. Join us on Saturday at 8 p.m. AST, 8 p.m. Jamaica time, 7 p.m. CST. So, Sister Chantal, it's the same time, 7 p.m. Jamaica time too, for tomorrow, right? And then join us again next Thursday. All right? Blessings. Deacon?
Amen, amen. Yes, hear those notices in mind. And next week, promises to be a blessing of that seminar. Amen. And yes, we invite everyone to come out and Sister Chantal's gift that she wants to share with us. It has been a blessing. I've been on the last presentation. I think it was the last one that we had sometime last year, and it was enlightening. It was a blessing, you know. So come out, be a part of it. Amen. In Jesus' name. And so now may the saving grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you, rest, remain, and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen and amen. Greet someone as you go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Deacon. God bless you, people of God.
Bless
have a wonderful
Lord.
Night.
Bless you, Lord, Sister Lem.
Praise God.
God. Bless you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Blessed be the love and the peace of Christ.
Bless you, Sister Hutchinson. Sister Ingrid. Sister Adriana. Bless you, sis. Sister Carl. Sister Tom's Morgan. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
God bless you, Sister Candida.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Have a blessed night.
Good night, Sister Pamela. Sister Desrin, good to have you on, Sister Candice. Sister Green.
Bless you.
Bless you, Sister Chantal.
Bless the Lord.
Bless you, Sister Radiant.
Radiant.
Good to see you.
God.
God bless you.
Amen.